Open your Bibles, please, to the sixth chapter of Romans. Romans chapter 6, your Schofield Reference Bible, page 1198. We'll be reading the first four verses. We'll read the verses responsively, giving a special notice to the second verse, the text verse for this evening's message. Once again, Romans chapter 6, verses 1 through 4. And shall we stand, please, for the reading of the precious Word of God? What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? Know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death? Therefore we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. Let's pray. Father, we're here tonight and we're glad that we're here, but we dare not leave this place except that we fulfill the reason for our being here, and that is, of course, to hear thy word. And we thank you for giving us a preacher. We believe that he's walked with thee this week and that you've given him something to say to us. And it just is, of course, tremendously important that we hear from thee through our preacher. And so help us to put other things out of our mind and help us to be attentive to the preaching. In Jesus' name, amen. Father, bless me tonight because I want to be a blessing to these who share with me in this hour. And I pray that you'd give us attentiveness, alertness, and depth to understand the great truth that will close this message tonight. Amen. Step straight, listen very carefully. Tonight, we will simply drive around a while to look at our state. At the end of our journey, we will find new pasture. Tonight, we will open our coffers to admire our jewels, at the end of which we will find a pearl of great price. Tonight, we will examine the balance of our account, only to find that interest has been added to that account. We shall spend most of our sermon tonight evaluating our net worth, only to shockingly find that our net worth has been increased greatly. We shall take an inventory of our possessions tonight to find that inventory is far more lucrative than the one we took last. We shall appraise our property and claim new plots at the end of our appraisal. We shall open our will to view our inheritance, to be shocked by what's been added to that inheritance and to that will since we last investigated. We will count our assets and enjoy their value to find that they have greatly increased. Then we will hunt for our precious jewels in order to find one new nugget of truth at the end of the sermon. We will seek a special jewel and a few yards beyond where we have been before. We will take one of my favorite journeys in order to find an exciting new rendezvous where we will pan for a rare nugget of gold. There, we will find a new flower, a new spring nestled in the forest of familiarity. To get to our territory tonight, our new territory, I must explore with you and retrace the journey that we often take. Do not become bored as we travel over familiar territory. For if you do become bored, you will not understand or appreciate the new truth, not a new truth, the old truth that's been new to us tonight, many of us, if not all of us. So let me begin a familiar trip that is between us and our destination tonight. Forgive me if on this familiar trip I stop and have a spell occasionally because of what I know is true as I seek that which is new. We're discussing tonight the subject of sin. Bible says, I was shaped in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me. Now as we take our journey over familiar territory, I want to make some very common, usual statements. Number one is, our sins are forgiven. Our sins are forgiven. Rolled away, rolled away, rolled away. Every burden of my heart rolled away. I love 1 John 1:9. If you confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. What I like about that, it doesn't say if we ask him to forgive us our sins. He says before you get there, I'll go ahead and forgive you anyway. You come to God and you're going to ask God to forgive your sins. You said, and you start off saying, dear God, I confess I've done something wrong. Before you get to asking forgiveness, you're already forgiven. Because he said if you just confess your sins, didn't say if you seek forgiveness, if you're on your way to forgiveness, he knows where you're going. Before you get there, he goes ahead and forgives your sins. Our sins are forgiven. Hey, that's pretty good news tonight. It doesn't matter what you've done, your sins can be forgiven. Come now, let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though our sins be as scarlet, as white as snow, red like crimson, they shall be as wool. I mean, if we confess, so confess your sin, admit your sin tonight, and come to God, and God will forgive your sins, and they'll be covered before you leave that room tonight. Now we continue our journey on the way. Not only are our sins forgiven, but our sins are forgotten. And of course, that's very familiar. The Bible says that God doesn't remember our sins anymore. Even though I have sinned, God is not even aware that I've sinned tonight. He has forgotten the fact that I've sinned. Hold it. We're not there yet. We're just on our way. We're going to a lovely little town at the end of our place, a lovely little unexplored town with some precious jewels that we've not seen before. And we must, in order to get there, retrace some stops. I said in the first place, our sins are forgiven. You can walk out the doors tonight with every sin forgiven. That isn't all. If you will confess your sin and come to God tonight, you walk out the doors tonight and God won't even know that you've ever been a sinner. God will forget your sins. And now we stop at our third place on the journey. Our sins not only are forgiven, but our sins are blotted out. The Bible says in Acts 3:19, they're no longer in God's books. You see, if you're not saved tonight, every sin you commit is written down in the books of heaven. The moment you put your faith in Christ, God blots those sins out of his book. And no longer are your sins recorded against you in heaven. I said in the first place, our first stop on our little familiar journey is, our sins are forgiven. I said in the second place, our sins are forgotten. I said in the third place, our sins are blotted out. Once again, that means the vilest sinner here in this room tonight can walk out those doors, get in your car, and drive home with your sins forgiven, your sins forgotten, and your sins blotted out of God's eternal books. We stop at our fourth little journey, stop on our journey, and that is not only have our sins been forgiven, and our sins have been forgotten, and our sins have been blotted out, but our sins have been recorded against the record of Jesus Christ. You see, the moment you trust the Savior, he takes your sins out of your book and puts those sins in his book. And that means tonight, that's what it means when he bore our sins in his body on the tree. Don't you see? He puts your sins on his record and stood before the justice of Almighty God, before, as it were, the great white throne judgment of eternity. And God looked at him and saw your sins recorded to his own son, and God turned his back on his own son. And for the only time in eternity, God the Father turned his back on his son. Why? Because God saw your sins recorded on the record of Jesus Christ. Glory to God. Now, we hasten on our journey down to our unknown destination as we stop at familiar points. We have found out again, as we have known before, our sins are forgiven. 1 John 1:9, our sins are forgotten. He remembers them no more. Our sins have been blotted out, Acts 3:19. Our sins have been recorded against the record of Jesus Christ, and he's paid the price for them. But we're not there yet. Be patient now. We're not to our destination yet. We will be soon. But there are a few other stops we have to make, and to cover this ground is necessary in order for us to get to our destination, to the final little nugget of truth that is new territory the last 10 minutes or so of my sermon. So not only have our sins been forgiven and our sins forgotten and our sins blotted out, Our sins have been recorded against the record of Jesus, but our sins will never be recorded against us. Psalm 32:2, blessed is the man to whom sin is not imputed. God, if you put your faith in Jesus Christ, you don't have to go across the street to get your sins forgiven. Blessed God, you don't have any sins as far as God's concerned. God hasn't even recorded your sins. The fellow across the street probably has a heap of them recorded, but God has not recorded your sins yet. I'm simply saying, blessed is the man whom the Lord will not impute sin. The devil walks up to God and says, look at what old Hiles is doing down there. And God said, he said, look at there. And God said, check his record. It's not even on his record. If tonight you went to heaven and you opened the books of life and you looked under H-Y-L-E-S, comma, Jack Frazier Hiles, you would not see one single sin against my record. I'm about to have a spell now. Not one single sin against my record. You say, Brother Hiles, don't you say you never have sinned? Well, I did once. But I've forgotten what it was. But yeah, sure I've sinned, just like you have. But bless God, the whole salvation idea is what to do with sin. And since God has put my record against Jesus' record, and Jesus has stood before God and paid for my sin, God will not require double payment, so God refuses to record my sins on my record. We continue our familiar journey through which we've been before and our road we've traveled before. That isn't all. Our sins are buried in the deepest sea. The deepest sea is where our sins are buried. Mrs. Hiles and I were in Maui on our 50th anniversary celebration trip, and we took a submarine ride. And we got to a certain spot where we down at the bottom. We stopped on the bottom. I mean, we just were down on the bottom of the ocean, and we stopped. And I thought, man, we're out of gas. Terrible place, we're out of gas. And the fellow said, we are at the deepest spot of the sea. And you know, I saw your sins there. Good night, I couldn't see for them. They were everywhere. And mine were over here in one little tiny over here. I saw an underwater mountain. I said, what's that? They said, that's Roy Moffitt's sins there. And in fact, they even stuck out of the top of the water some. But ladies and gentlemen, do you understand, in effort for God to tell us about our sins, you say, oh, brother, I've heard preachers say, one of these days, every Christian's going to stand before God, and there's going to be a movie shown about everything you've ever done. In your case, well, it'd be an R-rated movie. And a movie going to be shown, and all your sins are there, and you got the whole world's going to see your sins. I got news for you, Buster and Busterettes. Not only is God not going to show my sins, I don't have any sins as far as God's concerned. They're buried in the depths of the deepest sea, the Bible says. We hasten on because it's Lord's Supper night to go to our next little stop on our journey toward the nugget at the end of our message. Not only have our sins been forgiven, not only have our sins been forgotten, not only have our sins been blotted out, not only have our sins been recorded against the record of Jesus Christ, not only have our sins never been recorded against us, not only have our sins been buried in the deepest sea, but ours, by the way, we're not there yet, so don't leave me. We're not our destination yet. Our sins have been separated as far from us as the east is from the west. You can go east till east is east no more, and west till west is west no more. And you'll find my sins have been separated from me as far as the east is from the west. That isn't all. We have been justified. And I think a feel of spell coming on when I get to this point. We have been justified. Not only are my sins not recorded against me, not only have my sins been blotted out, but my record shows I never have sinned at all. You say, you're trying to say you're perfect? No, I'm not perfect. Neither are you, and neither is anybody else. Neither is the Pope out yonder sitting on his throne in the Vatican City. He's been perfect as I am. He's as big a sinner as I am. You say, Brother Hiles, are you perfect? No, I'm not perfect, but bless your little pea-picking heart. I have been declared not only holy before God, but God looks at my record and doesn't see my sins. He does it for all who has forgotten my sins, but he says, I don't think Jack has ever sinned at all. I'm justified. I'm happy in Jesus today. The sins I've committed, they're all under the blood of Christ, and I am justified just as if I'd never sinned at all. We have one more stop before we come to our little beautiful new town. And that is, not only are we justified, our sins have been separated as far as the east is from the west. Not only has our sins been buried in the deepest sea, they've been forgiven, they've been forgotten. They've been recorded against the record of Jesus Christ. They've not been recorded against my record. But the righteousness of Jesus Christ has been placed on my record. Preachers often say, bless God, if you saw my record in heaven tonight, there's not one single thing there. Oh, yes, there is. There's not one single sin there. But when Jesus put my record against his name, he offered to put his record against my name, and the personal righteousness of Jesus Christ is recorded in heaven against my name tonight. Oh, I see it just ahead. Our destination is soon. The introduction's over, and the sermon begins. Now we enter or leave familiar territory to virgin land. We leave what we know we had to what we unknowingly had. We find treasure that was hidden. Let me give it to you, and if this strikes you like it strikes me, we're going to make the charismatics look like Episcopalians. What is this treasure? Our text says we are dead to sin. Sit up straight. Listen to this. Listen carefully. That statement, I looked at it, and I began to do some checking. You know what that statement means? Dead to sin. It does not mean that we were alive to sin and we died to sin. The literal translation would be, in the Greek, being unborn to sins. Did you get that? Being unborn to sins. Let me explain that. God sees me as not even being born in sin. I was not born in sin and died to sin, but I was never born to sin. So in Psalm 51:5, behold, I was shapen in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me. Literally, that's true. But in the records of Almighty God, God not only sees my sins as forgiven and forgotten and I'm justified as if I'd never sinned, but God doesn't see me as ever having been born in sin at all. Wow. Positionally, Psalm 51:5 has been reversed. Positionally, we have gone back to our birth and have not been born in sin. Positionally, Nicodemus was right. Can a man enter the second time to his mother's womb? So here I am. Here I am. I just got conceived. And I'm growing in my mother's womb, and she gives birth to me. And here I am out here, and I can become an age of accountability, realize I'm a sinner. I put my trust and my faith in Jesus Christ, and God says, positionally, I'm no longer born in sin, and I go back where I was, and God doesn't even see me as born in sin at all. That means the new birth becomes my first birth. Not only have I never sinned, but I never had a sinful nature as far as God's concerned. As far as the records of heaven is concerned, not only are my sins forgotten, but God's forgotten that I ever had a sinful nature. There is no record of my first birth in heaven. God doesn't remember my first birthday. I have been unborn and reborn. On the records of God, my birth has been undone and redone. I have a new birth certificate. Now let's go back and see where we've traveled. My sins are forgiven. My sins are forgotten. My sins have been blotted out. My sins have been recorded against the record of Jesus. My sins will never be recorded against me. My sins have been buried in the depths of the sea. My sins have been separated from me as far as the east is from the west. We have been justified just as if we'd never sinned at all. The righteousness of Jesus Christ has been imputed to me. And not only that, but I have been unborn to sin. And you say, I can lose it. Dum, 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 dum. You say, I can lose it. What a piddling, infantile, childish doctrine. For the great God in heaven to look down and think that you could do something good enough to earn salvation and a home in heaven forever. My Bible said there's none good, no, not one. The good that you do is like filthy rags. What kind of foolishness is it to think that a simple man, a weak man, a sinful man, humble man, wicked man could do anything? Brother, it is not of our righteousness which we have done, but by his mercy hath he saved us by the washing of regeneration. Now all the things I said tonight take place by faith. Faith is the only righteous thing that I can do. Let me say it again. Faith is the only righteous thing that I can do. To him that worketh not, but believeth on him that justifies the ungodly, his faith is counted for righteousness. Now let me give you the icing on the cake. God, before the foundation of the world, transacted this business. I had what I'm talking about tonight, all of these things I'm talking about tonight, before the earth's pier holes were dug. I had all of this before the world's great beams were laid. I had all of this before earth's concrete was poured. I had all of this before earth's plans were drawn. I had all of these before earth's specifications were drafted. I had all of this before earth's plots were laid. God looked down before there was ever a world, before there was ever the foundation of that world, and God saw me. And God saw me as a 9-year-old boy, 11-year-old boy nearly, in the backyard of the Fernwood Baptist Church on a Sunday night, a hot August Sunday night. God saw me walk down that aisle and trust Jesus as my Savior and profess my faith in him. And God looked down through his foreknowledge and said, before there was ever a world, I see that little boy down yonder in 1937 in the ghettos of Southwest Dallas trusting me. And brother, this whole transaction took place way back yonder before the moon ever was shining, the sun was ever risen, the stars ever twinkled in the sky, a river rolled from its origin to its destination, an ocean was ever poured, a flower ever bloomed. All of this was transacted way back yonder. And you say, can you lose it? Oh, hogwash. What do you mean, lose it, brother? I didn't get it because I was good. I got it because he will not impute my sins to myself. God, through his foreknowledge, saw me trusting him and closed the deal. It is done. The great transaction's done. I am my Lord's and he is mine. He drew me and I followed on, charmed to confess his love divine. Jesus paid it all. All to him I owe. And so tonight, let me review. Those of you that are trusting your church membership, I better change your mind or you're going to get awful hot one of these days. You better buy you some asbestos suits. You're going to need them. If you're trusting your good works, if you're trusting your baptism, your holy confession, your sacraments, your Holy Eucharist, you may as well trust your holy cow. But I want to say to you tonight, everybody in this room can walk out of this door with your sins forgiven. Don't look at me like that. You've got to face God one of these days. I said you've got to face Almighty God. You can look all you want to and scowl all you want to, but you stand before God without what I'm talking about tonight, and you'll be cast in the fires of hell to burn forever and ever and ever. But Bless God. You can walk out those doors with your sins forgiven. Your sins forgotten. You remember them no more. Your sins blotted out of God's books. Your sins recorded against the record of Jesus Christ. And your sins never recorded against you. With your sins buried in the deepest sea, separated as far as the east is from the west, justified as if you'd never sinned, with the righteousness of Jesus Christ recorded against your name in glory. And then that precious little nugget, you can be unborn to sin tonight. God will see you as not even being born in sin. Positionally, Psalm 51:5 reversed. Positionally, we've gone back to our birth and have not been born in sin. The new birth becomes our first birth. Not only have I never sinned, but I've never had a sinful nature as far as God is concerned. There's no record of my first birth. God does recall my first birthday. I've been unborn and reborn. My birth has been undone and redone. I have a new birth certificate. All of that can be yours tonight. You say, what do I got to do? One thing. Faith. That's all you can do. That's all you can do that's pure. Faith. Any good work that you do is associated with selfishness. Isaiah 64:6 reminds me that my righteousness is like filthy rags. The good works that I do is like filthy rags. But there's one thing that I can do that's perfect. Don't miss this now. I can put my faith in Jesus Christ. You say, Brother Hiles, how is that perfect? I'm glad you ask. Because that faith is not mine. For by grace you are saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. That faith is the gift of God. And so it's perfect because it's God's gift to you. And God has given you tonight faith. You take that faith that's perfect that God has given you, put it back in His Son, and your sins are cared for eternity. Would you bow your heads, please? No one is leaving. Now listen carefully to me tonight. Don't you trust that night that you just joined the church? And don't you trust that night or day that you just got baptized? Or the time that you walk the aisle because others are walking the aisle? I ask a question tonight. Could you stand up here behind this pulpit and give a testimony and tell about the place and the circumstances surrounding the moment that you realize that you're a sinner? And let me tell you this, you'll never settle the son question until you settle the sin question. And the sin question is only settled when you put your faith in the Son, for He bore the sins. Was there a time in your life when you, number one, realized that you were a sinner? Huh? When you walked the aisle, did you realize you were a sinner? Nobody can be saved who does not realize he's a sinner. Did you realize that you were under the condemnation of God and the wages of sin were death or eternal fire? Did you understand that? Did you understand that Jesus Christ came, virgin born, lived a sinless life, went to Calvary and paid your sin debt for you in order for all these things to happen to you we discussed tonight? And did you trust Him and Him alone take you to heaven on the basis you're a sinner, lost, sins paid for? If I ask you to walk up here tonight, stand behind this pulpit, could you tell us about it? And you realize those things, and you trusted Christ. Now don't you let all the devils in hell send you to hell. Don't you let all the embarrassment and pride in this world send you to hell. Tonight, you can have all these things happen to you by walking down this aisle and putting your trust and your faith in Christ. If you're here tonight, you've never done it, you do so. If you've done so but have not walked the aisle to make it public, let me tell the people the good news. Or maybe somewhere along the line tonight, God has spoken to you about some reason why your knees ought to grace this altar. Shall we stand? The choir will sing. Come quickly, hastily, as the choir sings.